Matthew chapter 7, and we will begin our reading with a verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Amen. Before we come to the preaching of the word, let us all bow in a brief word of prayer. Let us all seek the face of the Lord. Our gracious Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy word. We do thank thee that, Father, you have shown to us the way to approach the Lord. Thou hast shown to us the real gate, the straight gate. Thou hast shown to us the true tree. Thou hast shown to us the house whereon we need to build upon the foundation, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, there's so much imagery here in Matthew chapter 7. I pray now that thou wilt help me to convey truths to thy people that will help them in their walk with thee, to cultivate their relationship with thee, to have a deeper love for Christ, a more loyalty, a more commitment. Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit to be upon us. Lord, we just don't have what it takes to serve the Lord. We don't have what it takes in and of ourselves to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, will not you point us to our Savior who bought us and redeemed us by his precious blood? We pray now, Lord, that thou wilt bless, that thou wilt proclaim thy glory, that thou wilt be glorified in the preaching of the word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of my favorite TV programs is The Antique Roadshow. Ranging from paintings to furniture, dolls to lamps, people eagerly bring their antiques to be appraised, hoping they will hear the good news that what they have is worth something. What they have belongs in a museum. Everyone has that hope, I think, before you go on the show, that what you have is something priceless. Most people want to know what their antique is. Some people don't even know what they have, and they want an appraiser to tell them, well, what do I have here? Others want to know where it came from, the history of it. And then most important, of course, everyone wants to know the value of it. You know, what is this, how much is this worth if we were to sell it? And some are pleasantly surprised and some are disappointed by what the appraiser says. Well, the one who tries to answer these questions of these people who bring their items to the antique roadshow is the appraiser. Now, the appraiser is an expert who closely examines an object, whether that be a lamp or a piece of furniture. They also have a great understanding of that item or that subject. They've looked at so many different items in that certain class that they have become an expert. And they know exactly what to look for. They know exactly what to look at when they examine these objects. Now, the question that the appraiser really needs to answer is the antique real or imitation? And the appraiser, being the expert that he is, will be able to determine whether you have a Tiffany lamp or an imitation of a Tiffany lamp. And when I read through Matthew chapter 7, our text this morning, I felt like the Lord Jesus Christ was applying some of those principles that an appraiser would apply when he looks at certain objects. First of all, Christ speaks about the straight gate. And of course, we know from Matthew chapter 7 that the straight gate is narrow. It leadeth to life. And yet, that's the real gate. That's the real way. That's the real road. But there's an imitation. The devil has a way. The devil has a road. And the Lord Jesus Christ takes the real way and then deals with the imitation. And he does that four times. He does that with the two gates. He does that with the two trees. He does that with the two professions. And he does that with the two houses. And what he does is, as any good appraiser would do, he wants to find out what the real thing is. And then if you understand what the real thing is, if you understand what to look for in terms of the authentic object, then you can compare everything else to it and find and discover the imitations. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ seems to do here in Matthew chapter 7. He deals with the real truth and then compares it to the imitation that the devil has. The devil always has an imitation. He always has something that looks so close to the real thing. And, you know, when you watch that show, The Antique Roadshow, there are a lot of objects that almost can fool the appraiser. But yet they know so much about the object, just a certain element or aspect of the object tips them off that this is a fake, that this is a counterfeit. And that's the way it is in the spiritual realm as well. There are so many imitations that look so close to the real thing that only the Lord Jesus Christ has a perception. Only He has the discernment, really, to differentiate and distinguish between what is true and what is false, what is real and what is imitation. So this is what I'd like to look at this morning. I'd like to look at these four illustrations that the Lord Jesus Christ uses. And the message that I'd like to bring this morning to you is beware of imitations. Beware of imitations. And how do we beware of imitations? And that's what I like to focus on. There are four things in which we have help here in the Scripture to help us beware of imitations. And the first point I'd like to make is that we can be beware of imitations by following the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that in verses 13 through 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Following the Lord Jesus Christ is not easy. And Christ is telling His disciples that. If the disciples had ideas of glamour and prestige and honor, then they were following the wrong person. The Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear. that he who follows me must enter through the straight gate. Now, it's interesting when you look at that phrase in the Greek. The word, the phrase straight gate literally means agonize. That's the word. That's the Greek word where we get our English word agonize from. The straight gate that Christ is talking about is a gate that is so compressed and restricted. It's small. It's not appealing. It's not attractive. The broad row, on the other hand, is spacious and accommodates the crowd and their baggage. It seems like everyone is flocking to the broad road. And that's what the Lord Jesus, that's what the devil does in terms of imitation, is that he will take the road and he'll say, you can follow me. And I don't require any self-sacrifice from you. I don't require any loyalty from you. I don't require any commitment or obedience from you. You can go the broad way. You can do what you want. And that's the road of the devil. And millions upon millions today are walking and living and on that road. That's a road of compromise, a road of ease, a road of non-commitment. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, the road that you need to follow me is a road of self-sacrifice. It's a road of suffering, a road of persecution. And you've got to keep in mind the context here. Lord Jesus Christ is ministering to men that are relatively new to the faith. They haven't followed the Lord for very long. And the time is coming soon when the Lord Jesus Christ will die on the cross for our sins. So he will leave his disciples. And he wants to tell his disciples, to follow me, you must enter into the straight gate. The straight gate is a gate of agony. The straight gate is a straight of persecution and opposition. There will not be many that will enter into that gate. And that's the reality of it. And the Lord Jesus Christ is dispelling the imitation that the devil presents. And we know, we see the broad way, don't we, all the time. It's amazing that though those believers who are on the straight, that are in the narrow way, that they're entering by the straight gate, they can also see the broad way. They can see people on that way. And the road is not an end in and of itself. My wife and I were driving around yesterday, and we were looking around at different places, and there are a lot of dead ends, and the roads just stop, and they don't lead anywhere. Well, the road that the Lord Jesus Christ is referring to here, it's not an end in and of itself. These two roads lead somewhere. And these roads lead either to life or to death. Life being life in the consummation of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, where you will live with the Lord and reign with the Lord forevermore. That's life. And that's where that road leads. But the other road, the road that leads the broad way, leads to destruction. And it may be some pretty sights on the way. And there may be some pleasure and fun on the way. But like you see a beautiful scenery of a waterfall, and it looks beautiful, doesn't it? The water and the trees, and all of a sudden you see that it comes to the end where you just drop off. And all that pleasure, all that scenery is just gone. That's the imagery of the Broadway. It's like a waterfall. It just takes you right over. And that word destruction does not mean physical annihilation. It just doesn't mean that when you die, it's all over. It's referring to eternity. It's referring to being plunged into the depths of hell. And there are thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions of people that are on that way. And we, as God's people, we've got to have a burden for these people. We've got to have a burden for sinners that don't even realize where they're going. They're so given over to their sin. We need the Lord to awaken them, arrest them from their slumber, and to take them from the broad way that leadeth to destruction, that they might be put on the narrow way and the straight gate that leadeth to life. How we need the Holy Spirit to awaken sinners today, because it seems like that Broadway, the crowd is getting bigger and bigger. The crowd is getting bigger and bigger. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to do a work of grace in our day. There are two gates, there are two roads, there are two crowds, and there are two destinations. And you fall into one of those. You fall either on the broad way or the narrow way. You fall into the one crowd or the other crowd. There's no third crowd. It's either one or the other. And you are on that road right now, one of the two. Which one is it? We must beware of imitations because they're out there. We must beware of imitations for our children's sake. The Lord Jesus Christ has blessed this congregation with many children, and we need to be aware of the broad way. We need to be aware that there are children that are headed towards this life of destruction, and we need to pray, Lord, give us mercy and grace and wisdom and save our children from going the path of destruction. That's a fear that we have, don't we, as parents? There's a fear in every parent that you look at your youngster and you just say, what are they going to become? What are they going to become? What are they going to do with their life? And you can't live their life for them. But oh, how your desire is that they might walk the narrow way, that they might enter the straight gate, that they might taste and see that the Lord is good. That's the prayer that we ought to have for our children. Not the imitations that the devil presents. Not the deceptions, but the real thing. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to give us a heart for those who are headed to destruction. That's one way of being aware of imitation, by following the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's another way, and that's found in verses 15 through 20. And that is by serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 15 through 20, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ is something that has to be seen. We have to be seen. When people look at our lives, they have to see Christ in us. They have to see works that bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if they don't see any difference in us than an unsaved person, then how can they be brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? How can they see that Christ does make a difference in a person's life? And this imitation of you can just profess Christ and not have to live for Christ. You can say Christ is my Savior, but not my Lord. What confusion we send to the world. No, Jesus makes it clear that you will know them by their fruits. You will know them by the way they serve me. You will know a man by the way he lives, by the way he thinks, by the way he behaves. Not the imitations where people just talk about serving the Lord or the shallow profession of faith. No, it goes much deeper than that. We must beware of imitations. And the one way to beware of imitation is we must be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's this problem that I've wrestled with and that we all wrestle with, and that is getting involved in the work of the Lord, serving Christ, working good works for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what James says in James chapter 2? Turn there with me. James chapter 2. Verses 14 through 18. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have no works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And it's the same idea that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, that you will know them by their fruit. We've got to have our Christianity be seen by the world. We can't hide our Christianity under a bushel. People have to come to see that there's something different about that man. And it's not because of that man, but it's because of the Holy Spirit that worketh in that man, that's showing to them that that man is different, because he has a union, a vital union with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting that the Lord Jesus says, Beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. And usually what the false prophets do is they tell people that the Broadway is okay. You can go on the Broadway and you'll be okay. And it's interesting when you deal with the first part of this chapter here in Matthew. He talks about the Broadway, then he talks about the false prophets. The false prophets are usually the ones that lead most people to the Broadway. And we need, brethren, men of God to be raised up that will preach the truth, preach the way, preach in such a way that will lead people in the right direction. We have too many false prophets today. Men who want to claim to be preachers, claim to be Christians, but yet they lead their congregations down the broad way. No. Isn't the minister, the pastor, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is called by God to encourage God's people to serve the Lord? If they're false prophets in the congregation, then there's going to lead to false followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to lead to a massive confusion in the church. And we need to pray, Lord, we don't want these imitations. We want real men of God to be raised up to preach the Word of God. We need men to stand behind the Bible and preach the Word of God. Not their agenda. Not what they think the Word of God is, but preach, thus saith the Lord. We need the Lord to raise up real godly ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't have to be only in a Free Presbyterian church, but we need to see young men raised up to preach the Word of God. Not these imitations. That is why Christ says in verse 15, Beware of false prophets. False prophets have been around ever since the church has been around. You read about false prophets in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah, and in Ezekiel. They always seem to be more than the true prophets. They always seem to be greatly outnumbering the true prophets of God. And it was so hard for Israel at that time to find the true prophet of God because there were so many false prophets. And God's people want to hear the Word of God, but when the church is overrun by so many false prophets, it's so hard to find a man who preaches the Word of God. And I think we've experienced that to some extent in our own experience. That we don't want the imitations. We don't want these false prophets. We want the real prophet. We want the real Word of God. We want to be fed and taught from God's Word. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, well, beware of imitations by serving me. And one of the ways that we can serve the Lord is to have a prophet that will feed us and teach us and instruct us in the way of the Lord. We need to pray for our ministers. We need to pray for our pastors that the Lord's hand will be upon him. But there's another way in which the Lord Jesus Christ dispels imitation, and that is by loving Christ. We not only must follow Christ, not only serve Christ, but we read in verses 21 through 23 that those who truly have a relationship with Christ, they love Him. We read in verse 21, Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The result of having a false prophet always leads to false followers. And loving Christ recognizes the grace that we need to be followers of Christ. You know, when you read this description of these professors, you feel like when they're trying to debate the Lord Jesus Christ here and give him a reason why they deserve to be in heaven, the emphasis is all on them, on what they've done. And we've prophesied. And we've done this great work in thy name. And we've done that great work in thy name. But a true child of God recognizes that it's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace. And it's about Christ loving me and in turn, I loving him. And the difference between a true professor and a false professor is that they love the Lord. That they love the Lord. That they have a genuine relationship with Christ. It's just not words. It's just not head knowledge. But it goes deeper than that. Much deeper than that. And when we discover that Christ is the one who's loved us, then we can love him back. And I'm afraid, and this again, I examine myself when I preach this message, is do I love Christ the way I should? Am I some way imitating it, or am I somehow being not true to the Lord? Because you have to say, when you read these words, these are people that have been in the church. These are people that have heard the gospel. They've been involved in the work of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes to that day, he's rejecting that. And that is application for us who are in the church. And that's why we need to examine ourselves, brethren. Are we following and truly loving the Lord Jesus Christ, or do we have imitation? Are we just outward? Are we just being those who are seen in a sense, but yet have no depth, no personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? We have to have a substance to our faith. We have to have a relationship that goes deeper than just profession. And when I read this portion of Scripture, it made me really examine myself, because it's being applied to those who are in the church, to those who perhaps went to church every Sunday and sat under the preaching of the Word, and find to their absolute horror on that day that they are not going to be with the Lord in heaven. And we need to pray, Lord, search my soul and see if there is anything in me that would be proud or be something that would take the glory from you. Search me and dispel this. Cleanse me. Take all the glory, Christ. Not the imitation, not the professions, but the real thing we need. We need the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are several ways to beware of imitations. First of all, we see that we need to be following Christ. We need to be serving Christ. We need to be loving Christ. And then fourthly, and with this I will close, we need to be trusting Christ. We need to be trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is seen in the illustration of the two houses. We read in verse 24 to the end, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You have two houses here, and from a distance, there's no difference between the two houses. You really can't see the difference, because the difference is not in something that can be seen in a sense. It's in the foundation. And what exposes the difference between these two houses is the storm. The storm comes. And this storm is a great storm. The test came. And the one house withstood that storm because the house was founded upon the rock. We know the rock is the Lord Jesus Christ from Matthew chapter 16. Christ is the rock. And that house withstood the storm. It withstood the test. But the other house fell, and great was the fall. Why? Because the foundation was the sand. It didn't have the true foundation. It had that imitation. It didn't have the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happens when you really see if the person is trusting the Lord is not trusting the Lord, is when trials come, when tests come, when storms of life come blowing in. Does your life fall apart? Does your life become unraveled and you don't know where to turn? If your house is built on sand, and I'm not one who knows much about construction, just ask my wife. But you don't build the house on the sand. I know if I'm in my house, if a storm comes, I'd like to be secure knowing that my house is going to be there. But I wouldn't have much assurance if I knew deep down in my back of my mind that, this house is built on sand. If a storm comes, we've had it. There wouldn't be much assurance and confidence and peace. I'd always be kind of anxious. I'd always be worried about when the storm's coming in. And, you know, but if you have the true foundation, you don't even have to worry about it. There's a peace there because your house is built on the rock. And it's the same truth when it comes to spiritual things. We're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like trusting in the rock. But when we allow our desires and our trust to go to other things, things of the world, then we are very vulnerable. And we become very susceptible to trouble. We need, brethren, to dispel these imitations, the sand. And maybe you are trusting a little too much in the things of the world. Maybe you're trusting too much in those things which, if the storms come and if trouble comes, it'll just ruin you and confuse you. No, you need to prepare for the storm. You need to prepare. And the best way to do that is to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really talking about trust here, this illustration of the two houses. And we need, brethren, to put our trust in the true foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I think there's so many that have their trust in the sand, have their trust in their youth, have their trust in their wealth. All these things that if storms were to come and just take them away, what would they have? They'd have nothing. And it would be obvious from the naked eye that, you know, we would see the destruction of the house. We would realize what the person really had their trust in, because it would be evident. That person's house was built on the sand. That person's house was built on the rock. The one on the rock is still standing. The one that's on the sand is destroyed. So we need, brethren, to beware of imitations. There's so many out there. The devil has so many imitations. We need to go to the Word of God. We need to learn from this passage in Matthew chapter 7 that we need to know the real thing. Remember that illustration I started the message with, the appraiser. The appraiser can tell the difference between the real thing and the imitation. And so should God's people. we should be so discerning that we can tell the difference between the imitation and the real thing. And the real thing is we must follow Christ. We must trust Christ. We must love Christ. We must serve Christ. Those are the things that we must hold on to, and we must learn from this passage here in Mark chapter 7. So I trust that this morning the Word has helped you to examine yourself. This is really an examination of are we following an imitation, or are we following the real thing, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I trust that the Lord's helped you this morning, and pray that the Word has been a blessing to your heart. Let's all pray. Dear Father in heaven, we come to a very sobering passage here in Matthew chapter 7. Lord, we realize that it's a message that makes us examine ourselves to see if we are following Christ or following some imitation. Lord, spare us. Spare us from following imitations. Help us to follow the true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there are some here this morning that have never experienced Christ in salvation, experienced redemption, experienced the forgiveness of sins, I pray that today might be the day that they come to Christ. Lord, we need revival. We live in a wicked world. We live in a day where darkness is getting darker. No, Father, we pray that the light of the gospel will shine to dispel the powers of the devil and to show forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need Christ to be the king in this country. We need Christ to be the one who executes His justice and His majesty. And Lord, You do. You're sovereign. But, oh Father, we have so many wicked men in high places. We pray that You will deal with them according to their deeds. So, Lord, we ask Thee now that Thou will bless us. Help us to rest in the Lord today. Help us to give thanks to all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.